Okay, today's daf is Kaf Zayin. We're going to start a Kaf Vav Amud Bet. Let's just review for a quick minute from the two dots in the middle. Komets Mei Matan Matir Shirayim Ba'achila, right? Itmar, right where the two dots are. There was a debate about whether, at what point, when you start burning the komets, does it allow the Shirayim to matir the Shirayim to let us eat them? So Rabbi Chanina says, Misha Mashlabo Ataor. Rabbi Yochanan says, Misha Tatzitbo Ataor. Right? The first opinion was, just when the fire gets started to burn it. Rabbi Yochanan says, once it's mostly consumed by the fire. So then we brought a question on Rabbi Yochanan from a Braita, where the Braita seemed to indicate, if you skip down a few lines, Tanya, Ein li yelad varim shedar kan likarei balayla, kamo evarim uptarin, shemalanu maktiram, mi ba'a shemesh umetaklim, bo'ochin kol alayla kula. All those things can obviously go on the Mizbeach at night, the Evarim, Ptarim, all those things are designated, they can all be done even after sunset. But Dvarim Shadarkan Likare B'yom, the things that get sacrificed during the day, Kigon, HaKomets, V'Levona, V'Aktoret, U'Minchakonim, and all those things, Ma'alanu Machtiran Mi Bo HaShemesh. Now this is a strange brayta because it says all those things can be, you can start the process from when the sun sets. Now you can't start the process because Darkan Likare B'yom. So the Gemara answers, oh no, what it means is right before sunset. And then we said if it's right before sunset, that seems to indicate that you don't really need the fire to mostly consume it, because if it's right before sunset, then there's not enough time for the fire to get there. And that would be a question, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So the first answer we gave was Kan Liklot Kan Lahatir. There's a difference between, do we say that the komets is matir the shirayim, that's only once you once the fire consumes most of it. But if you want to say, once you put it on the mizbeach, you can leave it on even during the nighttime, even though it's mitzvahs during the day. As long as you put it on the day, you can leave it over at night. Then it doesn't matter if it consumes most of it. That was the first answer. So now we're by the first wide line. Rabbi Elazar matnela mi bo hashemesh, and we ended with this, where Rabbi Elazar teaches that it's mi bo hashemesh, the original way, that it's actually after sunset, and what's it talking about? Has nothing to do with our case. It's tmokim la bepokin. It's talking about if something fell off the mizbeach, if it was put on in the daytime and then it fell off, are you allowed to, since you're supposed to put it back on the mizbeach, are you allowed to put it back on at night? And that's the point, that you're allowed to put it back on at night. As long as it was on before, it's fine. You're allowed to put it back on even mibo hashemesh, even after sunset, it can go back on the mizbeach since it was there before. And then we say that Rabbi Yanai, Rav Dimi says that Rabbi Yanai also read this as poking. And now we're going to have a question on this. Umi amar Rabbi Yanai hacha? Hachi? Did Rabbi Yanai really say this? That this bright is talking about poking? V'ha amar Rabbi Yanai? And the reason why we don't think Rabbi Yanai said this brayta was because, it explains the brayta that it's talking about poking, is because he says, ktoret shepak'a me'al gabei mizbeach, if a ktoret falls off the mizbeach, afilu kartin sheba, even if it was big chunks that fell off the mizbeach from the ktoret, ein machzirin otan, they don't have to go back on the mizbeach. And what did it say in this brayta? If you assume the bright is talking about poking, what it's saying is, look at the subject, things should like the komets, the levona, the ktoret, and a bunch of other things, any of those things, you could put them back on mibo hashemesh. And according to Rabbi Yanai, you don't put it back on the mizbeach.
You don't have to.
Or you don't have to. If you don't have to, then we can assume that you don't put it back on at nighttime. I think that's the assumption here. Vitane Rabbi Chia Bar Menume, Bidbe Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov, Asher Tochal HaEsh Et HaOla Al HaMizbeach. Here's the pasuk, right? That the Esh will burn the Ola, it's whatever burns on the Mizbeach. Ikule Ola Ata Machzir. You can put back on things that have burned parts of the Ola. V'i Ata Machzir Ikule Ktoret. But you actually, here it seems to indicate you don't put them back on. If the ktoret started to become consumed and it fell off the mizbeach, we no longer put it back on. So what's the answer? How can Rabbi Yanai say this is poking and yet it says ktoret, and ktoret you're not supposed to put back on the mizbeach? Smei mikan ktoret. When they did that whole list, right, we have this very often, where there's a list of things, and sometimes people are just used to repeating the entire list, especially breitot that were memorized by al peh. But sometimes ketoret is in the list, sometimes ketoret's out of the list. So accidentally, they add a ketoret to this slew of things. But really, ketoret doesn't belong here. Amar Rabbi Asi, ki pashe Rabbi Lezer b'menachot, when Rabbi Lezer was learning menachot, by hachi, he asked this question. Komets shesidro v'sider alav et amaracha. What if you put the komets on the place where the fire, where the, you know, the fire is, but instead of putting it, usually you put it on the logs. Instead of doing that, sidro, first you put the komets, then sidir alav et amaracha, and you put the logs to burn on top of it. Would that work? Mahu. Derech haktara b'kach, o ein derech haktara b'kach. Would you say that this is a tip, you could burn things in this way, where you put the item to be burned underneath? Or do we say, this isn't the way we burn things, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to do this? Teku. Okay, why you want to do this, I'm not exactly sure. Doesn't seem like the most typical way of burning something, by putting the fire on top, but I guess in theory you could do that. It's like ovens sometimes work with the heat goes above, the heat goes below, you know, so I guess. Okay, by Chizkia, another question. Evarim shesidran, what if we have evarim that we put on the mizbeach to burn? V'sider alehen et hamaracha mahu. Okay, again, you put the logs on top of it to burn it. Al ha'etzim amarachmana, davka al ha'etzim, o dilma kevan dechtiv krachrina, asher tocha le'eshet ha'olah al ha'mizbeach, ibai hachi avid, ibai hachi avid. The answer is teku. Okay, so let's go through it. What does he say? It says you're supposed to do it al ha'etzim. So when we say al ha'etzim, do we mean al ha'etzim? It has to be mamash on top of the etzim, literally. Or do we say, since it says, asher tocha le'eshet ha'olah al ha'mizbeach, as long as it's done on the mizbeach, we don't care if it's done with the etzim on the top or the etzim on the bottom. And therefore, you can do it any way you want. Okay, that pasuk is presumably unnecessary, right? Because we already said it's going to be al ha'etzim, so why does it say asher tocha le'eshet al ha'mizbeach? We know the etzim are al ha'mizbeach. So basically, we're going to say, maybe that means as long as it's on the mizbeach, burning in some way, it doesn't matter if the etzim are on the top or the etzim are at the bottom. More questions about this. By Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, evarim shesidran b'tzidei ha'maracha mahu. What if you put it next to the maracha? The maracha is where the logs are. What if you put it next to it? I assume the assumption is it's next to the fire and it's going to burn from the fire, but it's just next to it instead of on top. Now, some people understand this question as even if we say that you could put it on, that you could put the etzim on top of it, you still might have a question. And some people say that this is premised on if you answer the last question and said it's okay if you put the etzim on the top, what if you did it on the side? Some people say no, it doesn't matter what you answer there. These are two totally separate questions. And sometimes we have these teku questions, and even though we don't really have an answer, often the Gemara will say, in intim tzilomer, if you want to say that's the answer to the first question, I still have a further question. So there's a debate about whether this sugya is read that way or not. But anyway, let's say you put them on the side. Mahu. So now there's a debate in another situation, okay, about the Lavona. It says by the Lavona, about the frankincense that we use in the bizichim with the lechem apanim in those bowls. So it says, v'natata al ha-ma'arechet levona zaka. And there's a machloket about whether when you put it to burn, when it says al ha-ma'arechet, do we mean on top, mamash on top of it, or do we mean even next to it? So now they say, aliba demanda amar al mamash lo tibaylach. If you're going to say by the levona that al means literally on top of, then the same thing is going to apply here because it says asher tochala ha'esh et ha'ola al ha'mizbeach. So if you say al, the ma'arechet there is on top of, then you're going to say here also it's on top and stadim don't work. Next to it won't work. Da'al etzim k'tiv, because it says, here they even say it's not even, it's al etzim, it also says al etzim. It says al etzim and al ha'mizbeach. So either which way. Ki tibaylach, that was my mistake. It's not, no, because al ha'mizbeach could still be my mistake. I made a mistake. It's al ha'etzim, right? Because the question is, does it have to go on top of the logs themselves? So now they're going to say, do we say, if you say that al could be samuch, and that if you say al is al mamash, then al ha'etzim has to be on top. But if you say al is samuch, Ki tibay lachalim d'man d'mar al b'samuch. Mai. Hachinami, do we say here is also al b'samuch? O dilma al ha'etzim dumia da'al ha'mizbeach. Or do we say, since here the words al ha'etzim appear and also al ha'mizbeach appear? Now, what are our options? Okay, let's just remember the layout. We have a mizbeach, okay, square shape. We have a mizbeach, and on the mizbeach there's this maracha, right, with the logs. So now, it's either going to be on top of the logs, or it's going to be right alongside the logs. Now these psukim say both al ha'etzim and al ha'mizbeach. So when we have the livonan, it says al hamaracha, we could say, maybe that means next to it. But here, the debate is, when it says al ha'etzim, maybe it means next to the ha'etzim. But maybe because it says also al ha'mizbeach, and what do we know here? Does it have to be al ha'mizbeach, or can you put it samuch l'mizbeach? Of course you can't put it samuch l'mizbeach. It obviously has to be on top of the mizbeach. The question is only, where the fire is on the mizbeach, can it be next to it or not? So they say, do we say al ha'etzim is dumia da al ha'mizbeach? Ma hatam al mamash? Since al ha'mizbeach means for sure on top of, when it comes to the mizbeach, maybe the al ha'etzim in our pasuk will be derived from the al ha'mizbeach, and it has to be on top mamash, and we're not going to learn it from al ha'marechet by the levona, where there's no appearance of al ha'mizbeach. So af hachinami al mamash. And again, the answer is teku. We don't know the answer, right? The answer is left for some future time and we'll figure it out. Okay, Mishnah. Hakometz, we're now going to start having all sorts of rules about what things are ma'akev, meaning that you can't do it if you don't have this. Okay, so we're going to start out with the mincha, and then we're going to go to all sorts of other things. Okay, we're going to tangent off to all sorts of other things that are done in the mikdash that are ma'akev one or the other, or different situations.
I'm sorry, you can't.
Ma'akev means that you can't do it. So if you're missing this, it's no good. Okay? Hakometz, okay, the kometz that you took, so you take the kometz out of the mincha, now you're supposed to burn it. Mi'uto ma'akevet rubo. Normally we have dine rov. If you do rov of something, that's usually enough. In this case, if you're missing a little part of the kometz, okay, it's gone, something happened to it, then it's ma'akev the whole thing. Okay, that's what it means, mi'uto ma'akevet rubo. You cannot burn the kometz anymore. Okay, and if you do burn it, it doesn't work. Isaron, if you're missing, okay, the isaron of the solet that's supposed to go into the mixture, now we're backtracking. We started from the kometz, now we're going back to when you first put the dough together. Isaron mi'uto ma'akevet rubo. If you're missing part of the isaron, the measurement of the solet, of the flour, then that's going to prevent you from doing the rest of it. Hayayin, now we're moving on to Yei Nesach, the Nisachim that they would do, Yei Nesach, the Nisachim that they would do in the Mikdash where they would pour the wine libations. It's the same word, I mean, it comes from there. It's a little weird, the order of this Mishnah, because we started with Mincha, we're going to the wine libations, and then we go back to the Mincha. I'll talk about it in a minute. Hayayin, so there's a specific amount of wine you're supposed to use depending on the type of sacrifice you have. Miutoma akevet rubo. So again, if you don't have the exact measurement, you can't do it. Hashemen, now we're going back to the mincha offering. The oil, the amount of oil that you need. Miutoma akevet rubo. Again, if you're missing part of it, it's not going to work. Now it seems the reason, again, it's a bit of a weird structure in any case, but it seems that since they're talking about the wine libations, if you remember, not all the menachot needed oil. And one of the types of menachot that needed oil was the minchat nisachim, which goes with the yayin that's used for the nisachim. Also the wine, right, there's the meal libations. And that, you could say that they're talking about the wine and the shemen. The measurements for both are the same also when it comes to the sacrifice. How much oil you need, how much wine you need. Hasolet v'hashemen ma'akvin ze'etzen. Now we're not talking about measurements, now we're talking about items. Okay, so if you're supposed to put in the libations, in the minachot, the meal offerings, that you need both, you need the oil to be mixed with the fine flour, they're ma'akvin ze'etzen. If you don't have shemen or you don't have flour, no meal offering. Hakometz v'halivona. We learned that you have to put the frankincense on and you have to burn both the kometz and the livona. They're makvin zetze. If you don't have one, you don't have a good mincha offering. Okay, the Gemara is going to now find sources for how we know this. Let's just review. We learned this already, which is, how do we know if something is ma'akev, if it prevents the korban from being good? If, Rav had said, if it's repeated. Remember, if it appears twice, then we're going to say that that's telling us it's ma'akev. Then there were other, all sorts of other reasons given, like if it has lashon havaya, if it has chuka, right? Certain words are going to teach us that it's necessary. My time, huh? So how do we know by the komets? Amakram melokum tso trezimne. Okay, we've seen this before. It says melokum tso in two different psukim, in two different sections of Avamincha. So that teaches you that the komets is ma'akev. Isaron, in other words, the measurement of it. Isaron miutom ma'akevet rubo, my time, huh? Amakra misalta. Remember, it's a misalta umishamna by the mincha from its solet. Why did it have to say its solet? To teach you that all of it has to be there. Shim chasra kolshu psula. That if any part of it was missing, it's no good. Hayayin miutoma kevet rubo, because it says there kacha. Okay, the word kacha teaches you that it's going to be makev. Hashemen miutoma kevet rubo diminchat nesachim. Kacha. Okay? In Minchat Nesachim, where you have the oil, the one we were talking about that before, it says kacha. And in Minchat Nedava, that's if someone just brings a voluntary offering of a mincha, also it needs oil. How do you know that it's ma'akev? Just like we saw by the solet, what did it say? Misalta. If you remember, the pasuk says, Misalta u'mishamna. So Amar Kra u'mishamna, she'im chisar koshu psula. Okay? So again, that teaches you if it's missing anything. Hashemen v'asolem akvin zetzeh, same pasuk, misalta u'mishamna, but here, if you remember, it was repeated, migarsa u'mishamna, right? The migarsa was another word for the solet, and we're going to say, here it's repeated, and because it's repeated, it says twice, you need solet and shemen, we're therefore going to learn that it's necessary. Hakomas v'alavona akvin zetzeh, because it says, al kol levonota, ve'et kol ha'levona asher al ha'mincha. So again, it says it in two different psukim that you need the levona, and therefore they say, therefore it's clear that you have to have the levona. New Mishnah. Now we're going to talk about other things that are ma'akev ze'etzeh. Shnei si'irei yom ha'kippurim ma'akvin ze'etzeh. There's good chazara on all sorts of things we've seen before where we have a combination of things. There's the two si'irim, there's the si'ir la'ashem, the si'ir la'azazel that we do on yom ha'kippurim. If you only have one, then you can't do it, right? Let's say there's only one seir to be found, and you know you want to do the sacrifice. You might say, "Oh, I'll do one of them." You can't do it if you don't have the other. For one, the other one can't be done. Shnei kivsei atzeret ma'akvin zeetzeh. Again, we learned many times about the Shavuot korban that they would bring with the shtei alechem. There were two kvasim that they sacrificed. If you only have one, you can't do the sacrifice. Shtei chalot ma'akvot zo et zo. Okay, the two loaves for the shtei alechem. Also, you can't have the loaves if you only have one of them. Shnei starim ma'akvin ze'etzeh, with the lechem apanim, if you only have six, right? Each seder had six loaves. You only have six and you don't have the other six, then you can't do it. Shnei bezichim ma'akvin ze'etzeh, if you only have one bowl of the frankincense, you can't burn them at all. Hastarin va'bezichim ma'akvin ze'etzeh, now we talk about, right, that was within each one. This is the same as the previous Mishnah. Now we're going to say, well, these are, not only are there two, and there's two, but there's two different items, right? It's besides that there's the bezichei levona, there's two bezichei levona, and there's two starim. But now, what about the fact that this whole entire thing is one package? We have bezichei levona, and we have starim. We have the kivsei atzeret, and we have the chalot. Okay, so shnei starim ma'akvin ze'etzeh, shnei bezichim ma'akvin ze'etzeh, astarim v'abezichim ma'akvin ze'etzeh, okay? Here actually they don't mention the shtei alechem and the kivsei atzeret, okay? So here they say the starim and the bezichim ma'akvin ze'etzeh, so if you don't have the bezichei levona, and obviously if you don't have both of them, then not only can you not burn that, but you can't even, you know, give out you can't use the lechem apanim, you can't give them out. Or if you don't have the lechem, then you can't burn the levona. Shnei minim shebenazir are ma'akvin ze'etzeh. That's the two types of loaves that we have the nazir brings with his offering. Shlosha shebepara, the three things that are with the para. Okay, when they would burn the para, the kohen would throw into the burning the eitz erez, the cedar, a branch, the ezov, which is a branch of hyssop, and the shani tolat. Okay, so he would throw those into, right, I'm right about mm-hmm. those three things? He would throw those into the fire. So, right, that's what he does with them? He throws them into the fire, I'm sure? Okay. Arba Shevetodah, remember there were 40 loaves, four different types, each, right, 10 of each. The 40 loaves, so if you don't have one type of the four, then it's Makev. The Arba'ah Shebelulav, okay, now we get to Lulav. You need all four minim. You can't, if you don't have an etrog, let's say, or you don't have the hadassim, or the ravod, or the lulav, you can't do it. The Arba Shebemitzorah, okay, with the mitzorah, he has a few shlavim of his tara process. And the first shlav of his tara, we need two birds, and then in the shechtwan, the blood goes into the water, like he takes water in a klicheres. The blood goes into the water to color the water, and then you put in also an eitz erez, an ezov, and a sheni tolat. You tie them, and you put them in the water with part of the bird. It's a whole thing you do there. So the four parts of the mitzvah you are ma'akev. The shiva hazaot shebepara ma'akvot zo etzov. If you remember, the para aduma, you had to sprinkle the water toward the Beit HaMikdash. Right, because you remember we do it at Har HaZeitim, facing the Mikdash. So facing the Mikdash, you're supposed to do seven sprinklings. If you don't do all seven, it's Ma'akev Zetzeh, right? As opposed to, remember, when you do the Shtein Chain Arba or the Arba, right? All of those, except for the one, right, all the ones on the Mizbech, Hachitzon, the outer Mizbech. If you did one, it's sufficient, even if you need two or four, okay? As opposed to the Mizbech HaPnimi, where we said all of them are Ma'akev, one the other. And we're going to get to the other ones, which are not just the ones inside on the Mizbeach, the four, but also the Sheva Hazayot, Sha'al Ben Habadim, Sha'al HaParochet, Sha'al Mizbeach HaZahav, Ma'akvot Zo'etzo. These are the ones we do with Yom HaKippurim. What do? Remember, we sprinkle. It's actually a little strange, this Mishnah, because it's really eight times. We do Achat Lamala and Sheva Lamata, right? We do it Ben Habadim, between the beams of the Aron, we do it on the parochet, right? He goes out of the Kodesh Kodeshim and on the parochet facing the Kodesh Kodeshim. And then after he does the four around the Mizbeach, then he does seven on top of the Mizbeach. So it's a little weird because there's seven at the very end. The last one is seven on the Mizbeach HaZahav, but the other ones are eight. So it's a bit of a strange, right? Why it says seven? Some people say it's a seven because it's like the seven of the para and the seven of that. To me, it seems like maybe they viewed the, even though we obviously talk about that there's eight, remember, well, we did all those countings, and all the countings, whether it was 43 or 47 or 48, we always counted it as eight. But maybe some people viewed it as, it's really seven. You do one lamala, but then you do the seven lamata. So it's talking about the group of seven that are lamata. Maybe the, I don't know. But everybody agrees, no matter how you read this Mishnah, that it really means all eight of them are ma'akev. The one that's lamala is also ma'akev. Okay, it's just why the Mishnah used this Lashon, and maybe also because it's the common denominator between all three. Because in the last one, there's seven, and Mishnayot like to say things in an organized manner. So if we said the seven there and the eight there, or, you know, the eight there and the seven in that one, maybe it would have been a little confusing. I don't know. Or maybe it's just a mistake. It's possible that it really should have said eight and then seven. Okay, Gemara. Now we're going to see again the source, just like we did in the previous Mishnah, the source for all these things, how we know they're Ma'akev. Shnei sirei yom kippurim makvin zetzeh, because it says chukah. Okay, shnei kivsei atzeret makvin zetzeh, havaya. Okay, it says havaya by the kivsei atzeret. It says, I forget the, it's, should be here. No, I don't see it in the Torah or, but anyway, it says, I forget exactly the lashon of havaya there. Shtei chalot havaya, it also says havaya there. Shnei starim chukah, by the lechem apanim it says chukah. Shnei bezichim chukah, also says chukah by the bezichim. Hastarim vabezichim, the fact that each one is because it says chukah. Okay, again, we seem to be reusing this word chukah, and since it appears by both, it means both that you need the right amount and that if you don't have both parts, you can't do it. Shnei minim shebanazir, dechtiv kein ye'aseh. Okay, so therefore that stresses it has to be done. Gimel shebepara chukah, right, we know that. That's parsha chukat. Okay, so everything there is ma'akev. Arba'a shebetodah, we saw this already. De'itkish le'nazir. Once you learn out nazir, then you can say the todah also, because by nazir it says, al zevach todat shlamav. It didn't need to say shlamav there. We already know they're talking about the shlamim. So therefore, it must be saying, because it already said that the Torah does a korban shlamim. So it must be shlamav is to say it's like the shlamei nazir. In that case, if the bread there is makev, the bread here is makev. Okay, again, it has a lashon of havaya. V'dalad shebelulav v'lakach ulakachten lekicha tama. Okay, it means it has to be a whole lekicha. Amar Rav Chana bar Rava lo shanu ela she'ein lo, aval yesh lo ein ma'akvin. This only means that if you have it, and that if you don't have it, it's ma'akev. But if you have it, then it's not ma'akev. Meaning that if it's in front of you, you can take one without the other. And this sounds strange to us, right? What's the mitzvah of lulav? Take them all together, right? The arba minim is taking them all together. But what Rav Hanan says is, what do you mean? No, you don't have to actually take them all together. As long as you have them, you can take each one at a time, and that's fine. Now, this is all based on, I don't know if you remember, when we learned sukkah, we learned that there's a big machlok, and we're going to see it inside, whether lulav needs eged or not. This is one of those classic examples. I remember teaching this years ago, and it's one of those, it's a good example of where you have to, when you learn text, you have to remove what you know in your head to be so obvious. Because things that are so obvious to you, like of course a lulav and etrog has to be bound and has to be held together and there's no other way to do the mitzvah. But it actually wasn't always the case. Not everybody agreed to that. Okay, there was a machloket about it. So you have to kind of forget about what you know is baseline, because wasn't always baseline. Okay, so now we're going to say meitivei. How could you say that yesh lo ein makvin? It says in the source, arba minim shebelulav, shnayim mehem osim peirot, ushnayim mehem ein osim peirot. Two of them have fruits, and two of them don't have fruits, right? The hadasim and the etrog have fruits. Oh, no, not the hadasim, the lulav, I guess. Right, because of the dekel tree? I guess that's what they mean. Right, the etrog and the tamarim. Right, I was thinking of the flower of the hadas, but it's not. It's the lulav is a dekel tree, and it has tamarim. And the etrog has the etrog, obviously. And two of them are not osim peirot. Ha'osim peirot yuzik kukin l'she'en osim. V'she'en osim peirot yuzik kukin l'osim peirot. Okay, they each need each other. In other words, you need that combination. Okay, meaning they have to be brought as one. Here we're going to see, right? V'ein adam yotzei yidei chovato bahen. Okay, so then you might think at least you have to bring them together. So what would you imagine? You take all four, you hold them in your hand together. V'ein adam yotzei yidei chovato bahen ad shiu kulam ba'aguda achat. Okay, so then they say, but not only do you have to hold them all in your hand, but they have to be wrapped together nicely. Okay, bound together. V'chein Yisrael b'hartza'ah, and here they take it, you know, one step further. When Yisrael get ritzui, okay, Rashi explains this means when they fast and they want God to appeasing from God, basically. They want to please God and get answered. Ad shiu kulam ba'aguda achat. Okay, they have to all join together. Shneamar habonev shamayim aliyota ba'agudato al eretz yisada. Okay, so here you see that this pasuk is saying that when they're biyachad, right, agudato al eretz yisada, it's things are founded by being together. Okay, that you need to be together. That's where people always. This is one of those sources where people connect between the arba minim and the binding of everybody, all the Jewish people. So now, what do we say? Right, it's a little different than the source that talks about Tam vein Reach and Reach vein Tam and all the people, but it's a takeoff on it, or that's a takeoff on this. So now we have Rav Chanan Barav, who said that as long, right, they're not Makev Zayetze, even if you take one after the other. And then we have this source, which says they all need to be taken together, and not only that, they need to be bound together. So how can you explain that? Very simply, Tanayi, it's a Machloka Tanaim, Ditanya. There's a brayta that says that there's a machloket about this. Lulav, bein agud, bein she'eno agud, kasher. A lulav, whether it's bound, whether it's not bound, is fine. It's kasher. Rabbi Yehuda omer, agud, kasher, she'eno agud, pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says, only if it's bound is it kasher. If it's not bound, it's pasul. My time at Rabbi Yehuda, what's his reason for saying it needs to be agud? Gamar, kicha, kecha, me agudate zov. Just like by the agudate zov, that we use by the, I'm trying to remember which one is the one. It's by the para or by the mitzora. They're both bound. Probably by the para aduma, agudat ezov. So by there it says, right, it's lekachtem, 1 second. No, the ezov is in both. Mm-hmm. It's the, 1 second, let me just find the pasuk.
It was actually before Yitzhak Mitzrayim.
Oh, that's what it was. Right. I forgot. You're right. I was confused by the others. Yes. When they did the Pesach, when they put the dam on the mashkof, they did this agudah. It says, right, v'lakachtem agudat ezov. Okay, there it says, just like it says u'lakachtem in our pasuk, it also says u'lakachtem there. So they learn l'kachtem, l'kachtem. There it says l'kachtem agudat ezov, to put the blood on the doorpost. And here also it says u'lakachtem lachem priyat adar, etc. So now they say kicha kicha. So because there it says u'lakachtem and here it says u'lakachtem, therefore it has to be that was an agudah, this also is an agudah. So now, v'rabanan, what are they going to say? Right? Ma lahalam bagudav kam agudav. V'rabanan, lo gamri kicha kicha. They don't have that zereshava. Remember, to make a zereshava, you have to have learned it from your rabbi. He doesn't have that drasha. The rabbis didn't know that masoret. Okay. So now, so we basically say, very simply, there's a machloket, doesn't need a doesn't know. But now they're going to say, there's a problem with some other source based on this machloket. Keman az lahaditanya lulav mitzvah laogdo v'im lo agdo kasher. There's a brayta that says lula, it's a mitzvah to do the igud v'im lo igdo, but if you didn't do it, it's kasher. Keman ikir Rabbi Yehuda, it can't possibly be because he says it's pasul if you didn't do it, right? Lo agdo amai kasher, it should be pasul. And I Rabbanan, who doesn't think there's a mitzvah laogod, my mitzvah, right? It says it's a mitzvah laogdo, and Rabbanan says it's kasher, you don't need it. So they say, no. La'olam Rabbanan, umay mitzvah. In other words, even though Rabbanan say it's kasher and lulav doesn't need an egged, it still is a mitzvah la'ogdo. Why? And now we can think about why you actually have to bind them. Ze'eli va'amveim. This is my God and I will beautify him. Think about what it would look like. Okay, already it's a little bit messy with the, right, the hadasim go this way, the aravot bend down, and it's a little bit messy, but imagine if it wasn't bound at all, it would be a total, it would look all messy and not respectful. So that's why Chachamim say, theoretically, it doesn't need igud, but it's much nicer if you do igud, and therefore, because it's a way of beautifying, you know, how we praise God. Sheva hazaop chepara ma'akvot zo et zo. Okay, the seven sprinklings of the para are ma'akev zo et zo. Chuka. Okay, that's very simple because it says chuka. Sheva hazaot sh'albein abadim v'shal mizbach hazaha v'shal haparo kachet ma'akvot zo et zo. Okay, why is this? To Yom HaKippurim, okay, now remember, there's different korbanot that had these hazaot, right? I didn't say this in the beginning because all three of them relate only to Yom Kippur, but some of them relate also to all the chataot of pnimiot that were done in the inside, right? There were the seven hazaot there on the kapor at all, on the parochet also. Okay, so, de Yom Kippurim, very simply, k'tiv chuka, that's why it's makev. De parkoe mashuach, de paralim devar shel tzibor, which are done inside, and the sirei avodah kochavim, which are, you know, you do the hazaot on the right, in the inner mizbeach. Kiditanya, Va'asala par kasher asala par. Remember, we darshan this a lot in Zvachim. It says, and we do to this par like we did to that par, right? It's comparing the par, Kalendavar Shel Tzibor, to the par, Kohen HaMashuach. I think that's the direction, if not the other direction, I forget. But it's in the context of one of them, and then it refers one back to the other. Here, okay. Rashi tells us it's talking about the par, Kalendavar Shel Tzibor. And it, right, that's what it is. The par, Kohen HaMashuach, is first in the Psukim. Then in the par, Kalendavar Shel Tzibor, it says, and do to this par like you did to that par. Ma tamud lomar, but they say there's no reason to tell us that because it already told us all the details that are already the same as the details before. So this is a totally unnecessary pasuk. If you remember, we darshan this in a bunch of different ways. Ma tamud lomar, lifpo bahazaot, she'im chiser achat mena matanot lo asa klum. So one of the answers is to say that what it's trying to say is, it's to teach you, there's a second reference to the sprinklings of the blood to show you that we're we're having a double thing going on here. And once you repeat it, then we're going to say that it means it's ma'akev. And that's how we know all the matanot are ma'akvot. Tana Rabbanan. Sheva haza'ot shebepara, sha'asa'an. What if you do the haza'ot shebepara? Now we're talking about something else. The seven haza'ot you do with the para duma. Remember, you're standing on Har HaZeitim. You face the mikdash. You're facing the heichal, basically. Okay, the inner part of the where the shulchan and the menorah are, and the mizbach hazahav. Bein shelo lishman. If you do them shelo lishma, or bein shelo mechuvanot, or and it's if the para aduma, even though it's not a sacrifice, it's actually called chatat. Because it's called, right, we call it mechatat, the water of the paraduma. Because it's referred to as a chatat, we're going to say it has the same laws of a chatat. Okay, going back to the very beginning of Zvachim, the first Mishnah. Remember, all kol hazvachim shasan shalo lishma are ksherot except for chatat, right, and the Pesach. But anyway, we're going to say, since it's called a chatat, so if you do it shalo lishma, if you do the procedure shalo lishma, the hazaot, you sprinkle it with the wrong intent. I don't know what else you would be intending since you're standing at Har HaZeitim and the only thing that's done there, but for whatever reason you have the wrong intent, or shalom achuvanot, or they're not done facing the hechal, psulot, they're no good. V'shebifnim, v'shebemitzora, if you're doing the ones that are done inside, the sprinklings that are done inside, or the mitzora that you're doing when you put the blood on the, for the mitzora, shalom lishmam psulot, if you do them shelo lishma, these are all chatats, and therefore they're psulot. But shelo mechuvanot or ksherot. But if you're not facing toward the kodesh kodeshim, because there you do it in the heichal, or for the mitzvah you're outside there, but you should be facing the heichal. All of them say you're supposed to do it. Lifnei Hashem, or I forget exactly the words. We'll see soon. If they're not mechuvanot, it's ksherot. Okay, it's okay. You're facing the wrong direction. V'hatanya gabei para, but doesn't it say in a brayta by the para shelo lishman psulot shelo mechuvanot ksherot? Doesn't it say by the para dafka that it's kasher if you do it not facing the right way? As right now, the main difference between them is if you're facing the wrong direction with the para, no good. If you're facing the wrong direction with the chataot pnimiyot and the mitzora, it's okay. Amar Rav Chista lo kasha. So now we're saying the first thing we're saying is we have a contradiction about the para. One source says you have to be facing the right direction, and one source says you don't have to be. So I'm Rav Chista lo kasha ha Rabbi Yehuda ha Rabbanan. Okay, one is Rabbi Yehuda, one is Rabbanan. What's the machloka between them? We don't know yet. Titania mechusare kapara shenichnesu la'azara b'shogeg chayav chatat. If you're, okay, remember the different levels. You have someone who's tamei legamre, okay? Then you have a person who is a tvul yom, who went to the mikvah but is waiting for Arish Shemesh. That's a lighter tumah. Then you have an even lighter tumah, which is mechusar kapara, which means he's missing the last stage of doing the korbanot. Okay? Now, mechusar kippurim is not allowed to pass the line into the Ezra Yisrael. Okay? Bashar Nika Northern. So if he goes into the Azara, if he goes b'shogeg, he's chayav chatat. If he goes b'mezid, he's anush karet. Okay? If he goes on purpose, he gets karet. Okay? It's important here to see the psukim about this. Okay? The psukim say, right, who are we talking about, by the way? Is Zav, Azavah, Yoledet, and Mitzorah, who have to bring on the eighth day, they have to bring a korban, right? Their purification is on the seventh day, then they have to bring a korban. It says, Ish asher yitma, v'lo yitchata, okay, which seems right, you're tameh, you don't become tahor, v'nichrita nefeshi mitoch hakahal, ki et mikdash Hashem timeh, because he desecrated the mikdash Hashem, mei nida lo zorak alav, he hasn't been sprinkled with the mei nida, tamehu. So first of all, you don't need, he hasn't been sprinkled with the main idaf, you already have v'lo yitchatat, the same thing. So from there they derive that it includes a mechusar kapara, that didn't finish all of his stuff. Okay? So there they say, mechusare kapara, if you do it b'shogeg, you're chayav chatat, because anything that's karet, if you did b'shogeg, you're chayav chatat, b'mezid, you're anish karet. Ve'ein tzarech lomar, tful yom u'shar kol atmeim, u'torim shenichnesu lefnimi mechitzatam. In other words, right, you don't need to obviously a tful yom and obviously all the tmeim, and additionally to horim that went lifnim mechitzatam lehechal. Okay, there's a debate about what we're talking about. Are we talking about kohanim that went into the hechal when they weren't supposed to? Okay, just like the kohen gadol can't go into kodesh kodeshim unless it's yom kippur, he's supposed to, right? In the times he's supposed to, Also, regular Kohanim are allowed in the Heichal in general, but not if they don't have something to do there. You're not allowed to stam wander into the Heichal. So Torim, some people say this, even talking about a Zar, a non-Kohen, that goes into, you know, where he's not allowed to go. Right? There's 11 Amot into Shaar Nikanor, is called the Ezrat Yisrael. There you can go if you're Tahor, if you're a Zar. Past that, only the Kohanim can go. So kulo ba'arba'im, okay? Lehechal kulo ba'arba'im, okay? You get malkot. Mi beit la parochet, but if you go in past the parochet, el panea kaporet, if you go in both mi beit la parochet, okay, meaning you pass the curtain that goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim, and then you go el panea kaporet, and then you go even further past the Aron, you know, by like, right opposite the kaporet that's on the Aron, right? The parochet is the divider between the Kodesh Kodeshim and the Kodesh and the Heichal. And the kaporet is the cover on the Aron. If you go up in that kaporet, you get mita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol Heichal kulo, umi beit la parochet ba'arbaim. He says, no, no, no. The Heichal and passing the curtain into the Kodesh Kodeshim is only malkot. But el panea kaporet, if you go right in front of the Aron, then you get b'mita. B'maika miflige, what's the machloket based on? B'haikra. B'yomer Hashem Moshe, daber al aron achicha, ve'al yavo b'chol eit al ha-kodesh, mibeit la parochet el p'nei ha-kaporet asher al aron v'lo yamut. It's a very strange line. It says, don't go b'chol eit al ha-kodesh, which means it's a lo tase, which means you get malkot. And then it lists three things. Don't go el ha-kodesh, which is the echal. Don't go mibeit la parochet, past the parochet, and don't go el panea kaporet, opposite the aron. And then it says va'al v'lo yamut. So there's three things. Obviously, the lota says referring to the first. The mita is referring to the last. And the question is, what about the middle one? And that's the debate between them. Rabbanan savre el kodesh v'lo yavo. And it's only the first thing is a lota say mibeit la parochet v'el panea kaporet v'lo yamut. Okay, the second two are that. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, El HaKodesh, Umibet LaParochet, Belo Yavo. Vel Panea Kaporet, Belo Yamut. Okay, the divider is between number one and the second two. Between the first two, right? The first two are Lo Tase, and the second one is My Time of the Rabbanan. So what are Rabbanan hold? Isagadata Kitakama Rabbi Yehuda, Lichta Brahmana, El HaKodesh, Vel Panea Kaporet. You should have just said, El HaKodesh. If you wanted to say it like Rabbi Yehuda, who says everything except for going al panea kaporet is going to be lo tase, then just say don't go al kodesh, and then say the el panea kaporet. That's when you're going to get mavet. Velo bayim ibeit la parochet, and you didn't need those middle words. Va'ana amina, and what would I say then if I saw that hechal michayev mibeit la parochet mibaya? In other words, if the hechal you're chayav lo tase, obviously mibeit la parochet, if you went past there, you're going to obviously have a lo tase. You wouldn't need to specifically designate that. Therefore, mibeit la parochet dekata rachman alamali shmamina b'mita. So therefore, there's no reason to add the words mibeit la parochet if really it's just going to be the same as the lo tase, because once the first level, obviously the second level is going to be a lo tase. So therefore, it's b'mita. Rabbi Yehuda will say, "I kata rachmana el kodesh velo kata mibeit la parochet." If it had just said el kodesh, like you suggested, Chachamim, and it didn't say mibeit la parochet, what would you have thought? Hava mina my kodesh. You might have thought the kodesh is mibeit la parochet, is the kodesh kodeshim. Aval hechal lav nami lo, but hechal wouldn't even be a lav. The Rabbanan, what are they going to answer to that? How could you possibly think that Kodesh would be Kodesh Kodeshim? Because Hechal Kulo, Ikri Kodesh, and Amar, Vivdila Parochet Lachem, Bein HaKodesh Ubein Kodesh HaKodeshim. Okay, it says very clearly, there's Kodesh and there's Kodesh Kodeshim. So if it says Kodesh, it must mean Hechal. So that's the debate within Rabbanan's opinion. Tomorrow we'll start with Rabbi Yehuda, and what's his reason, where does he get it from, and what is Rabbanan going to say, retort back to him. Okay, and then we'll get back to how did this connect with what we were saying.